Hi, this is Elmore Leonard. I'm listening to Film Sociology, and it's a real program. It's great.
It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the multiplex and the art house. What's new on video and streaming, and you might also hear about some dead people we like.
We don't have time for dead people we don't like.
Anyway, this is Film Sociology, where you'll find out what's the next cinematic marvel.
It was unbelievable!
And what's just a movie.
Shut up! My God, you have no freaking life!
Okay, here's your host and my dad, Matthew Soucy.
Hello there, film lovers. Welcome to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook, also on Twitter, at Matthew Soucy. This show is available on iTunes, and like all of the podcasts here at WFYI, available on Spotify. Well, friends, we got through another week. Hope you're staying safe. Hope you're staying healthy. Hope you're staying sane. Hope you get your shot soon, if you haven't already. And hope you're being good to one another. And hope you've been able to watch some good films that are new, or at least new to you, as well as falling back on old favorites. And we'll get to the grab-a-pencil portion of the show in a little bit. But first, before we go on my list and explain my rough week as a film critic online, just a reminder that Indie Film Fest is happening right now through May 19th. You can go to indiefilmfest.org for all the information. You can see some streaming shows, some virtual Q&As, and of course you can go to the Tibbs Drive-In on Thursday nights to check out Indie Film Fest. You can hear my interview with Craig Minson last week's program if you want to check that out. Over at Can Cinema, we have some events that are coming up on Wednesday, May 12th at 8:30 p.m. This is at the Playground at Indie Fringe, so this is an outdoor. But at 8:30 p.m., they're showing The Watermelon Woman. And then May 19th, Wednesday, May 19th at 8:30 p.m., the David Cronenberg version of The Fly, happening outside at Indie Fringe as a part of Can Cinema in Brassiere. Over at the Tibbs Drive-In, when they're not doing the Film Fest on Thursdays, on Screen One, you have Wrath of Man, the latest Jason Statham film, directed by Guy Pearce, and Nobody. On Screen Two, The Waterman and Here Today. Okay. Screen Three, Mortal Kombat, Godzilla vs. Kong. And then on Screen Four, White People Money and Separation. All of that is happening at the Tibbs Drive-In. At the Skyline Drive-In this weekend, Wrath of Man and the original Death Wish. That's somewhat intriguing. Death Wish of itself is a pretty good film. Yes, I can accept Charles Bronson as a liberal architect. It's the sequels that kind of marred this film. Kind of like First Blood, kind of like Rocky. You know, too many sequels. And anyway, there's a shameless plug I should do right now. The Twitter, well, I found these guys on Twitter, the Golden Globus Theater. It's a podcast dedicated to, I'm reading from their page, the greatness of 80s action movies with a heavy emphasis on the works of canon films. It's hosted by Tim and Griff. They did, for the month of April, they talked about all of the Death Wish films. So if you want to check that out, go do that. And they're based out of Detroit. So Sky Point to salute to a fellow Michigander. So, go check that out if you're interested in podcasts about Death Wish. And you can tell them that the Blues House Party, Film Sociology sent you. I'm in a studio in a building all by myself, friends. Anyway, over at the Skyline Drive-In, Wrath of Man and the original Death Wish. Next weekend, it will be Wrath of Man and Guy Ritchie's film Snatch. Friday, May 21st, Airplane and the Naked Gun. So all that's happening over there. Over at the Historic Art Craft Theater in Franklin, Indiana, this weekend at 7:30, depending on when you listen to the show, 7:30 p.m. Friday, 2 and 7:30 p.m. Saturday, May 8th, Dr. Strangelove. May 14th and 15th at 2 and 7:30 p.m., both days, The Wizard of Oz. May 21st and 22nd, 2 and 7:30 p.m., One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. May 28th and 29th, 2 and 7:30 p.m., Back to the Future. And June 4th and 5th, 2 and 7:30 p.m., A Star is Born, the Judy Garland, James Mason version. That's at the Historic Artcraft Theater. Over at IU Cinema, running through May 12th. These are virtual events, of course. Charlie Chaplin's The Gold Rush, running through May 19th, the 1938 film version of Pygmalion. On Tuesday, May 11th, a special virtual event, world premiere, IU 2020 Part 3 at 7 o'clock. Tuesday, May 18th at 7 o'clock, Federico Fellini's And the Ship Sails On from 1983. And you, by the way, you can go to the Film Yap, the website this week, and see my review of the Criterion box set Essential Fellini, of which And the Ship Sails On is a part of it. Tuesday, May 25th, special virtual event, of course, 7 o'clock, IU 2020 Part 4. And then Tuesday, June 8th, a special virtual event at 7 o'clock, monthly movie roundup virtual edition. Let's see. Join us for a virtual edition of the monthly movie roundup, a regular series featured on IU Cinema's blog, A Place for Film. So that is happening over at IU Cinema. Want to raise a glass to a couple of folks, because dead people we like, because we never have time for dead people we don't like. And I didn't get a chance. I believe I recorded this last week's show after I found out that Olympia Dukakis had passed away. Of course, she won an Academy Award for Moonstruck. Her other great cinematic claim to fame, among others, was playing Clarie in the film version of Steel Magnolias. But this is a woman whose credits go all the way back to the 1960s. TV, movies, the stage, didn't matter. And this was another great example of, oh, I'd seen her in a bunch of things before after seeing her in Moonstruck. I forgot she was John's mother in John and Mary. She was in the film Made for Each Other, The Rehearsal. She was a police officer in Death Wish. She played Joey's mom in The Wanderers. That was a big film for me in the late 70s, early 80s. She was in The Idolmaker, Moonstruck, of course, and then followed up that with Working Girl, Look Who's Talking, Steel Magnolias, plays the mom and the wife and dad, Look Who's Talking Too, of course, Cemetery Club, I Love Trouble, Jeffrey, yep, Mighty Aphrodite, so it's good to see her do some classical work there, Picture Perfect, Mafia, I mean, just constantly working, and she was one of those that, I mean, she was working even, I'm trying to remember the last thing I saw her in. I loved her in Away From Her. That's right, from 2006. And yes, I'm scrolling on IMDb here at Film Sociology. But she was one of those that even if I hadn't seen her work for many years, she was constantly working. So kudos to Olympia Dukakis. And classic that guy, Frank McCray. Now, Frank McCray kind of became an archetype for the yelly, screamy African-American police captain or lieutenant or, you know, superior officer because of 48 Hours. And it was later spoofed in Last Action Hero, but was a that guy going all the way back to Cool Breeze from 1972. He was a giant henchman in Shaft in Africa, appeared in films like Dillinger, Bank Shot in the 1970s, Hard Times, Walking Tall Part 2, Pipe Dreams, Fist, was a male nurse in The End, was the sergeant in Big Wednesday, Paradise Alley, Norma Ray, Rocky II, see, constantly working. 1941, Used Cars, that was another one that was on HBO on cable constantly. Cannery Row, of course, that was a nice contrast. He played the sensitive giant Hazel in Cannery Row and then became yelly, screamy Hayden in 48 Hours. National Lampoon's Vacation, Red Dawn, Farewell to the King, License to Kill, Lock Up, Last Action Hero, as I mentioned. He also made fun of himself in Loaded Weapon 1. That's in 1 year. Two spoofs in 1 year. Pretty good. Lightning Jack, don't hold that against him. And his last credit from 2006, Love's Abiding Joy. So salute to Frank McCray. And thank you for screaming for us. There was the line I could write, an edited version, of course, is when he screams at Eddie Murphy, "You go F yourself, convict." You're listening to Film Sociology here at WFYI.org. All right, friends, we'll get to your stuff in a moment. So here's what happens sometimes here in the world of film sociology. A film we thought was going to open in theaters this weekend did not, although you could see the review of it in on the Film Me app when you're checking out my work on Fellini. A wonderful documentary set on a farm, but I'm just going to – anyway, I'm hoping it will get an official release here in Indianapolis soon. And then an online screener that was just not sent to me. It happens. I know. Don't cry for me, internet and listening audience. But this wasn't a good excuse to keep plowing through Time Life Home Videos, the complete series of Laugh-In. This is what I've been watching in my spare time, especially after writing up the Fellini box set. So here's the thing about why I have been watching Laugh-In and enjoying watching Laugh-In. I remember watching this show as a kid. It was on reruns when I would go to my grandmother's house in New Jersey for the summer. And, you know, topical humor at that time, but the jokes still held up, even though it's a period piece. And there's still some jokes about politics and society that 50 years later still kind of are relevant. But of course, it's also a lot of old, quick vaudevillian type humor. So I enjoy that very much. And as I mentioned before, at the beginning of season one, you had, I think their special guest stars were people that were doing shows on NBC, the network that put the show out. And by the end of the first season, when John Wayne showed up and did a cameo, that kind of opened the door for movie stars to show up. And as the show gained momentum and popularity, it became one of the things to appear on to look good. And in some cases, subconsciously or just overtly, plug the film that you've been working on. So I thought, because nowadays, if you show up on Saturday Night Live, you mention probably the project, the film, the TV show, or the album that you worked on in your monologue. And if you are a big enough celebrity, you probably have a sketch or two that making fun of the project that you are plugging or famous for. And, of course, you have to plug something on a talk show. You just can't show up and have good banter these days. Old man yells at cloud. So going through the people that were guest stars or just did cameos, the famous President Nixon line. He came in, probably took 10 minutes, and then got out of there. So they did this with a number of name actors. And so I thought, what would they be promoting if this was 21st century ideas? Now, as far as the timeline, I'm just going by the year. You know, the film I mentioned could have been released before they appeared on Laugh-In or after. If you really want to look that stuff up, feel free. But this is what I'm going with based on some of the celebrities that showed up on Laugh-In. I finished season two. I'm about... two-thirds of the way through season three, I've gotten to where Judy Carn has been faded out and Lily Tomlin has joined the group. But we go back to season two, 1968, and some of the people that appeared on there and what films they would be doing at that time, I forgot that Marcel Marceau, the famous mime, was in Barbarella. That requires watching Barbarella. I own Barbarella. Come at me. So there is that. Phyllis Diller showed up, and she had two films at that time, The Private Navy of Sergeant O'Farrell, and did you hear the one about the traveling sales lady? You've been warned. Joseph Cotten makes an appearance, and it could be either promoting White Comanche or Petula. Vincent Price shows up. It could be Spirits of the Dead, where that's another film I mentioned in the Fellini collection, because that's something that is not in the box set. And when it was released, it was a collection of three short films loosely based on the works of Edgar Allan Poe that were shot in Europe. But when it came to the States, they had some voiceover work for Vincent Price. The other film that Price did in 68, one of his best performances, if not his best film, Witchfinder General. There were jokes, of course, about films of the day like I Am Woman, Curious Yellow, of course, Rosemary's Baby. Tony Curtis shows up, and there are a lot of jokes about the Boston Strangler, two in particular. There's some jokes about Some Like It Hot, but there's at least two moments with Goldie Hawn walking past him and saying jokes like, say hi to Mrs. Strangler, and mother told me never to talk to stranglers, you know. Yeah, but Curtis shows up later in another season. Cliff Robertson shows up to promote Charlie. Of course, he won Best Actor that year. There's a joke about the Paul Newman, Joanne Woodward film, Rachel, Rachel. Peter Falk shows up in 1969. So the two films he did, Machine Gun McCain, which you can read on the Film Yap, that was recently reviewed, as well as the military drama Castle Keep with Burt Lancaster. David Janssen shows up, and there was either Marooned, Generation, or Where It's At. There are jokes about William F. Buckley and Gore Vidal, so that's a great excuse for me to bring up the great documentary Best of Enemies. There's a joke about an R-rated, X-rated film, I should say, with Judy Carn playing Faye Dunaway in a film called In Cold Steel, a nude Lizzie Borden picture. There you go. Yes, and I'm actually telling you jokes that are just way funnier when you actually watch the jokes happening on Laugh-In. Dan and Dick talk about a seven-hour Russian film based on War and Peace. There's always the scrolls of jokes at the bottom. One had Richard Burton call your tailor. Andy Warhol film joke, fully clothed love scenes, weird. Frank Sinatra makes a cameo. That's the year, 1968, he was doing the Detective and Lady in Cement, the sequel to Tony Rome with Raquel Welch. There are a lot of Raquel Welch jokes on Laugh-In, as well as Steve McQueen. So, Shelley Winters makes an appearance, so The Mad Room or Arthur? There's a joke actually made about the 1968 film version of The Seagull, directed by Sidney Lumet. Yes, Chekhov film with Vanessa Redgrave, James Mason, and others. Lawrence Harvey shows up, so he was in The Magic Christian as well as She and He. Few jokes made about the controversial film The Killing of Sister George. The Davy Jones became a guest. And then the Monkees, minus Peter Tork, later showed up. And of course, in 1968, they did the film Head. More people need to check that out. Gina Lola Brigida makes an appearance. And there was a film she did that year called That Splendid November. Mel Brooks shows up. This is a year after he wins Best Original Screenplay for The Producers and appeared in the Robert Downey Sr. film Putney Swope. Girl on the Bicycle is made fun of. James Garner shows up a couple times, and in 1969, you had Support Your Local Sheriff as well as Marlowe. Robert Wagner shows up. Of course, he did Winning in 1969, the Paul Newman, Joanne Woodward, Robert Wagner, Richard Thomas film shot in Indianapolis as a part of the Indy 500. When Abdul Akeem Shabazz and I interviewed Richard Thomas, was doing a tour of 12 Angry Men, and he talked about celebrating, I believe, his 19th birthday in Indianapolis in 1969. There you go. Sammy Davis Jr. shows up. Of course, he had the great one number in the film version of Sweet Charity, Rhythm of Life. Jokes made about the films Candy, The Fox, George Wallace showing up in Rachel, Rachel. Sometimes you got to look some of these up. Peter Sellers shows up that year, and he mentions the film he had just finished called The Magic Christian. Jokes about Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. Alan Seuss makes a joke about True Grit. Just don't tell John Wayne. Michael Caine, the Michael Caine appearance in this, as I mentioned, it's just him doing the on stage, just, you know, kind of rattling off whatever, and they keep the best stuff. And he's in the joke wall, but I don't think he's making any verbal contact with anybody. It's like they shot his stuff separate and then the other joke wall stuff later. That's how it feels. But anyway, that year he did Play Dirty and The Italian Job. Lots of jokes about the novel and then later into the controversial film of Myra Breckinridge, which starred Raquel Welch, and Love Machine, which I need to revisit because that's a film based on another controversial bestseller at the time by Jacqueline Suzanne, who of course did Valley of the Dolls. Bob Hope shows up, and in 1969 he did How to Commit Marriage, and late 60s Bob Hope films, you've been warned. Sonny and Cher show up, and Cher shows up separately later. Of course, Cher had done the film Chastity. Also, a lot of jokes on I Am Curious Yellow. Eli Wallach and his wife Ann Jackson show up that year. In 1969, Eli Wallach did McKenna's Gold as well as The Brain. Romy Schneider shows up. That's the year of Otley and the Swimming Pool. Buddy Hackett. Seeing Buddy Hackett in late 60s fashion, always entertaining. And the year before, he had appeared in The Love Bug. There's a joke about a nude motorcycle film called Uneasy Rider. Carol Channing shows up. And, of course, she had just done Thoroughly Modern Millie. The film version of Thoroughly Modern Millie, Julie Andrews, Mary Tyler Moore, Carol Channing, James Fox, considerably different than the stage musical version. It's bonkers. George Roy Hill, this is the film he did after Hawaii and before Butch and Sundance, really added a lot of silent movie moments in the film version. And also that speed and energy. It's especially with the Carol Channing character. It's crazy. Good crazy. Roger Moore shows up. They had made a film called Vendetta for the Saint because of the series he appeared in as well. He was also in Cross Plot. Some jokes made about Midnight Cowboy because Greer Garson is a guest. They make jokes about Ghost as Mrs. Muir. Jonathan Winters shows up in season three. By that time, the series is in 1970, and he appeared in Viva Max. Tony Curtis returns the year he did those daring young men and their jaunty jalopies because the great race wasn't enough, apparently. There's a joke about seeing a film called Bob and Carol and Ted and Alice and Bonnie and Clyde and Romeo and Juliet and John and Mary. We go back to Olympia Dukakis there, so Sky Point. And also it should be noted that especially the 69-70 season, Goldie Hawn had made Cactus Flower, and that's a film that she would win Best Supporting Actress for, and that kind of would lead her out of the series to concentrate on movies. So there you go, friends. There's a lot out there. So, but I'm still enjoying these. My daughter occasionally pops up here and there. She's a big fan of Lily Tomlin, so she wants to see the Tomlin portions of the series, so we'll get to that. But I'm still enjoying these as far as a period piece, as well as some jokes that are still hitting hard 50 years later, I should say. So there you go. Time Life Home Video, Laugh-In, the complete series. Like I said, I'm on the tail end of season three, and you'll hear more about these in the next few weeks. So, and also, this is what happens when a screener is not sent to you and a film that was supposed to be released in Indianapolis doesn't. So, you're listening to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. All right, friends, grab a pencil. You could say that the Laugh-In section is an offshoot of Grab a Pencil because I gave you a slew of movie titles from the late 60s and 1970 that you could look into. So there you go. All right, grab a pencil. Here is what you have been watching on Facebook and Twitter. We start on Twitter with Creighton Duke, who says, Mitchells versus the Machines, quite good, and Fateful Findings, transcendent. Thank you, Creighton Duke. Going back to Twitter, or Facebook, I should say. all right, we start with Rhiannon, who writes, I still believe. Mario, who writes Dr. Strangelove or How I Learned to Stop Worrying and Love the Bomb. Kudos to Mario for using the whole title. Michael writes Singing in the Rain, The Thin Man, and Vertigo. Lucinda writes Soul. Linda writes, yes, boring movies. And I believe she's commenting on the Academy Awards and then adds, Emma should have gotten more. Keith writes Nomadland and The Sound of Metal. Tony writes Vertigo, Knives Out, and The King of Comedy. And Tony, I'm so glad you got to revisit King of Comedy. Friends, this is a film, well, all the critiques about Joker, ever saying it's The King of Comedy mixed in with Taxi Driver, and both of those films are better than that film. King of Comedy still holds up even more so today about celebrity status in our society. Was a financial failure for Martin Scorsese in 1983. But man, it still holds up. And Robert De Niro, Jerry Lewis, Sandra Bernhard, check it out. And I'm so glad you got to see that, Tony. Eric writes The Pawnbroker. Great performance from Rod Steiger and directed by Sidney Lumet. And yes, the score by Quincy Jones. Joe writes Dead Again in Tombstone. There's no comma there, so it's not the Kenneth Branagh thriller or the famous Western. Dead Again in Tombstone. Thank you, Joe. Greg Sarvig writes Street Gang, How We Got to Sesame Street, as well as Top Secret Short Films times 1,000. All right, Greg, hang in there. Skyla writes, My Octopus Teacher. Tony jumps back in, going, The Last Hug, Why Am I Crying? Yeah, I was bawling at the end of My Octopus Teacher as well, and that was after a long day, so it really hit hard. Cassie writes, Loon Lake. oh, man. Channing writes, Hellraiser 3 and Hellraiser 5 Inferno, and then adds, No way I'm watching the fourth movie again. Sean jumps in. Bloodline, I think the space one was called, was decent. And Channing writes, it's just the stench of studio mandates about that kind. It's kind of a turnoff. Okay. For you Hellraiser fans out there. William writes, Wolf of Wall Street. Roxana writes, Yesterday. Jed writes, I've watched The Hundley with Donald Sutherland. It's about a Civil War submarine that successfully sunk a ship during the war. Revisiting this before our trip to Charleston, South Carolina to see it on display. Thank you. Tracy Forner, I got to get you back on the show, dude. Skyfall, Mitchells versus Machines, and 61. Joshua writes, Two Distant Strangers, Stowaway, Without Remorse, State of Play, also finished watching season 2 of For All Mankind. Sean jumps back in, I really like the Book of Henry. Things about it were a bit absurd, but appealed to the Simon Birch fan in me. Thank you, Sean. Judy writes, Guys and Dolls, anytime you can watch Marlon Brando sing, and The Trip to Bountiful, which I have a special place in my heart. I love Trip to Bountiful. I got to direct the stage version twice. Judy adds, Geraldine Page is astonishing in that, and I'm glad I revisited again after many years. Yeah, as you get older, you should revisit Trip to Bountiful. We should all get our final wishes like that. Glenn writes, Another Round. Craig writes, Stan and Ollie. Lisa writes, Have you ever seen Fireflies? Andrea writes, King of Staten Island. Rachel writes, Sherlock Holmes, The Secret Weapon. Kevin writes, AI, Artificial Intelligence. Joni writes, Once Upon a Time in the West, and The Girl with the Pearl Earring. Eric chimes in, My favorite Leone film. It's a great one. Kevin writes, Driving Miss Daisy for the first time. Congratulations, Kevin. Lou Harry, They Live by Night, Bonnie and Clyde, and The Mitchells versus the Machines. Linda writes, Tom Clancy's Without Remorse. Simone writes, Watched Again, Ray. Eric writes, Nomadland, Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, Seabiscuit on Derby Day, and Promising Young Woman. Nicole writes, Just finished Captain and the Winter Soldier because apparently I'm an MCU fan now. WandaVision did it to me. All right. John writes, The Mitchells versus Machines. Beverly writes, Without Warning. Evan Dossie writes, Strange Days. Joellen writes, Promising Young Woman, an unexpected ending and a movie that makes one a bit uncomfortable. A bit? More than that. Missy writes, Finish Shameless, so sad to see them go, continuing with Arrested Development. Missy, you sound like my daughter. Those are two series that she loves watching, so great minds watch alike. First time ever with Spaceballs. Sorry, I didn't find it nearly as good as the other Mel Brooks films. And finally, Queen's Gambit. Missy, I was made fun of for being a film critic in high school, and I remember when Spaceballs came out in 1986. That film should have come out earlier. It should have come off right off the heels of Return of the Jedi, and I think it would have had a bigger impact. But yeah, it's not in the same ballpark as Blazing Saddles or Young Frankenstein. So it happens. Melissa writes The Haunting in Connecticut and Hillbilly Elegy. Sam Watermeyer writes Fatal Attraction, The Juror, and Blood Creek. Dustin writes Now Voyager, the original National Velvet, and McCabe and Mrs. Miller. Mario writes Parasite, Barry Lyndon, Blade Runner, and Blade Runner 2049. Kathy writes The Father, cried my eyes out. Yeah, Kathy, kudos to Anthony Hopkins for winning Best Actor. Friends, if you had family that recently had Alzheimer's, you've been warned, I should say, about The Father. Just leave it at that. Chris writes Vagabond and Trial of the Chicago 7. Brian writes Mitchells versus Machines, Best Movie of the Pandemic. There's an award. Kim writes, I have the best husband in the world. Jeff actually said to me, I know you've been wanting to watch Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again. So we did. Yes, the film where Cher is Meryl Streep's mother. Chris Lloyd writes, Gunda, Welcome to Monterey, Bad Cupid, and Here Now. Gunda is the film I was talking about earlier, the farm film, beautifully shot in black and white. Read the review of Gunda on the Film Yap page. You can also check out my review of the Essential Fellini box set from Criteria, the Criterion Collection. And yeah, I'm hoping Gunda gets a release. And so I'll talk about that a little more when it actually comes out. Anthony writes, Lady Bird, good story but shallow finish. I don't agree with that, but okay. Daniel writes, Keeper of the Flame, On Moonlight Bay, A History of Violence, Every Day is a Holiday, Lust for Life, Blood and Sand, That Touch of Mink, The Great Lie, The Agony and the Ecstasy, The Gay Divorcee, The Human Voice, Life Begins for Andy Hardy, and Jackie Brown, my favorite Tarantino film. Thank you, Daniel. Joe writes Alien, Aliens, Alien 3, and Alien Resurrection. Sigourney Weaver says thank you. Don writes, Barb and Star go to Vista Del Mar. And it adds, not worth your time. Doug, continuing on his films from 1962, Cape Fear, Cleo from 5 to 7, Dr. No, Lenate, Long Day's Journey into Night. That might be my favorite Katharine Hepburn performance because you get young and old Katharine Hepburn in the same character. Also, great film directed by Sidney Lumet. Sweet Bird of Youth, Whatever Happened to Baby Jane. And for Hitchcock films, To Catch a Thief and Psycho. Kelly writes, White Chicks. Whew. Molly writes, Bill, Irresistible, The Private Life of Henry VIII, Hunt for the Wilder People, Doolittle, Crazy Rich Asians, Muppets Take Manhattan, The Great Muppet Caper, and Star Trek Beyond. Frankie writes The Shape of Water and Monsters University. Frankie, tell me that was a double feature. Ken writes One Night in Miami. Susan writes The Uninvited, Never Been Kissed, and the Mamma Mia sequel, which she deemed better than the original. Cher is Meryl Streep's mother. Jamie writes Cleopatra and Endgame. Britt writes, we've been binging Game of Thrones this week, so our list is very short. That's all right, love. It's okay. Beverly Hills Cop 1 and 2 and Hobbs and Shaw. Jose writes Limbo. Jose, I hope that's the John Sayles film because I love that film. Love that ending as well. Taylor writes Some Like It Hot, Charlie Chan, The Trap, Godzilla, King of the Monsters, Jojo Rabbit, and Madame Claude. Jared writes Without Remorse and Mortal Kombat. JJ writes Space Truckers. Jeff writes Has Anybody Seen My Gal? Dee Dee Sorvino, check out her podcast. It's fun. Revenge of the Sith for May 4th. Yes, May the 4th be with you, or Revenge of the 5th. Khalif writes, saw Ma Rainey's Black Bottom again. I cannot recommend that film enough. Khalif, I'm with you, man. That was my number two film of last year. More people need to watch it, in my opinion. Paul writes, watched Tenet and Guns of Navarone this week and very much enjoyed both of them, especially Tenet. Adrian writes, ta-na. Okay. Jennifer writes, Nomadland and The Professor and The Madman. Ashley writes, The Antidote. Joan writes, The United States versus Billie Holiday. Terry writes, Ride in the Whirlwind from 1966. Episodes 1 through 3 of The Last Czars. Episodes 1 and 2 of Tanner 88. That's another really good political comedy. Directed by Robert Altman. Excellent performance by Michael Murphy. And episode 3 of Hemingway. Kelly writes, Bye Bye Birdie. Hi, Anne Margaret. Robert Muggy. Sorry, no films this week. Instead, I'm reading an 800-page book, and I read slowly. Robert, it's okay. Just come back to us with a list when you're finished with the book. Hang in there. Austin Glidden, of course, of Medium Cool podcast fame. Labyrinth, The Dark Crystal, Hairspray, the musical, and The Chaser. Andy writes, The Last Picture Show. Jesse writes, Murder by Death, The Apu Trilogy, and The Judy Garland, A Star is Born. Dan writes, Something Tyler Perry, 2 hours lost forever. Yep, and he got an Oscar this year. Michelle writes, The Last Holiday, the remake of The Italian Job, I Am Legend, Invincible, Jack Reacher, Jurassic World, and Jumper. Tammy writes, Gone Baby Gone, I Didn't Breathe Till It Was Over. Well, Tammy, you did breathe because you're living and you're writing us that. But it did hold your breath, I'm guessing. So, congratulations. Bob writes, Bob Bloom, Wrath of Man and Here Today. Carrie writes, The Bronze. Carrie, different spelling, writes, Little Shop of Horrors, Raising Arizona, and Hello Again. Andrew writes, Slacker. Kathy writes, The Rocky Movies. Joe writes, Citizen Kane. Heather writes, Strangers on a Train. Sean writes, The Wrong Man and Dumb and Dumber. Gary writes, Avengers Age of Ultron, Acapulco Gold, Bedlam, Shaloy, The Original Wicker Man, and Escape from New York. Michael Wright's Some Kind of Heaven, 2021 documentary produced by Darren Aronofsky that chronicles the lives of 5-6 people living in the villages in Florida. Loved it. I didn't love it as much as you. I did really, really like it. I know it's such a gray area. Michael, I'm with you on that, but it's a fascinating world. I don't think I'd want to live there, but it's a fascinating world, these giant megaplexes of retirement homes with their own little villages. Huh. And finally, Brenda writes The United States versus Billie Holiday. And there you go, friends. There's a lot of titles out there. So hopefully you're able to find some new, or at least new to you, titles, as well as falling back on old favorites. Friends, some words to live by.
Silent breed is people!
Zardoz has spoken.
Go see a good movie. You deserve it. Hope you're staying safe. Hope you're staying sane. Hope you're staying healthy. Hope you get your shot soon. And I hope you're being good to one another. And hopefully you get to experience some fine films. And we'll try again next week. Thank you for listening. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. Good afternoon, Fort Myers. Good afternoon, California. Good afternoon, Michigan.
I can't believe you let her watch Manos. Is she scarred for life?
Let's put it this way.
What kind of parent are you?
When I wake her up, I vocalize the theme to wake her up to get her ready to school.
Oh, you're a terrible father.
We'll do it live.
Okay.
We'll do it live!